Thank you. So, listen, everybody here in the room, even our government representatives here, have the same question, and that is Alberta going to integrate a significant amount of renewable energy into the electricity system? It's a question on the top of everybody's mind. And I'm pleased to tell you that today I'm prepared to answer that question directly, and the answer is yes. This government is going to move to bring in a significant amount of renewable energy to meet its climate change objectives. And I don't think I'm giving away any state secrets here. I'm looking over to Charles and James, let's look at this. This government has made public commitments and has spelled out its intention to decarbonize and diversify the electricity mix here in Alberta. It has committed to accelerating the phase out of coal-fired electricity and to bringing in renewable electricity, specifically wind and solar. So I think we know this as a starting point. But of course, that's the easy part. The devil is in the details, as they say. But I'd like to spend a couple of minutes just looking at it from a very high level about what it is that is driving Alberta's move towards the decarbonization and diversification of the electricity system. I think it's got two main parts. First is the global context. And we have seen some very remarkable movement on the global scene in terms of various jurisdictions' commitment to moving towards a lower emissions economies and bringing in renewables. And this government is obviously deeply in tune not only with the happenings on the global stage, but also the developing sense that there's an expectation that jurisdictions show leadership and responsibility on this front. One needs only look at recent announcements from President Obama in the United States or China to see the sort of aggressive movement that's being made on this front with their commitments to lowering emissions and greening their economies and bringing in renewables. We have the Pope, who's come out recently with his encyclical on the need to address climate change. We've got financial leaders like Mark Carney, former governor of the Bank of Canada and now the Bank of England, talking about the financial imperative to make the changes to our economy that are needed to not only address climate change, but to avoid additional costs and to get benefit by participating in that economy. And Alberta is looking at that centrally. But there are also organizations who are conservative organizations like the International Energy Association who are continually revising their predictions in terms of how this sort of movement is happening. As some of you know, CANSEA has the privilege of being Canada's representative on the executive committee of the International Energy Agency for solar. It gives us a terrific perspective of what's going on around the globe. But I wanted to point out just three broad trends from their recent medium-term market report from the International Energy Agency. It just came out about a week ago. First of all, on the question of adoption, they note that thoughtful policy is what's driving the record adoption that we're seeing. 45% of all new net electricity installed globally as of 2014, was because of renewables. And over the medium term, short and medium term, renewable electricity is on track to be the largest source of net additions. And this is, as I said, the context under which Alberta is operating in. Secondly, their comment on declining costs. The costs of PV have dropped another two-thirds in cost between 2010 and 2015. This is a trend that is continuing, and the IEA notes that it can only continue with good policy. So policy continues to be the driver for this transformation that we're seeing globally to electricity systems. Lastly, they emphasize this need for policy certainty. This is it's become a very competitive world, as all of you know, to attract dollars and investment and expertise in our renewable energy sector. It is not enough to have a good solar resource. You need to demonstrate that compared to other jurisdictions, you've got a predictable framework in place, you've got revenue certainty in the market, and that's the sort of thing that allows you to compete and attract world-class players, and that is something that Alberta is going to be grappling with. Now, that brings me to the Alberta context. I wanted to talk about this for a moment. I'm sure we'll hear some additional detail from our speakers coming up. But you know, Alberta is not just focusing on renewable energy. They have a much broader plan, an aggressive plan that is going to be showing stewardship and leadership. It focuses on all sectors. It focuses on transportation, buildings, oil and gas, and electricity. So we are a part of that. But the context here is that the electricity sector represents a very significant amount of the emissions that come from the Alberta economy. They represent about 17% of the emissions that could be reduced in this province. And because of the fact that coal is mandated to be phased out, it means that there's going to be a supply gap and the opportunity presents itself to bring in cleaner forms of electricity. So when it comes to looking at this myriad of things that it's tackling right now in terms of reaching its climate policy objectives, why are they looking specifically at electricity? The first one that I mentioned, it really had to do with why it is that they're going towards decarbonization. But why is it that they want to diversify their electricity mix? It's because the forecasts show that under the current circumstances, coal phase-out would be replaced almost exclusively with natural gas. And that brings with it unacceptable risks around fuel prices and doesn't create the diversified, resilient grid that this province is looking for. Now, why is it that Alberta wants to take steps to harness more of its renewable resources? Alberta's abundant renewable resources are the only available solution to decarbonize and diversify Alberta's electricity supply in a meaningful way. This is their opportunity and this is their option. Now, why is it that new policy has to be considered and introduced in order to achieve these objectives? I think at its most basic level, it's because the Alberta market was fundamentally not designed to deliver, was not designed to deliver or accommodate renewables into the sector. So without change, the outcomes delivered through it are going to be counter to what it's trying to achieve and will not bring in renewable energy. In short, the market structure has to be changed to allow for that revenue certainty that I was talking about. That will allow renewable energy projects to cover that higher upfront cost of capital and to deal with the intermittency of renewable supply sources. So these are the dynamics that are causing Alberta to look so seriously at bringing in renewable energy into this province. And fortunately for Albertans and for Alberta, they have a number of things going for them in their favor. We've got the best solar resource in Canada here to drive this type of transformation. Albertans want to see this transformation. They support it. Many of you saw the Pembina poll that came out last week that talked to this. But later today, we are going to be hearing from Dan Wimette of Enveronix, who has done some polling for the solar and wind industry in preparation for this policy dialogue. And it will be highlighting Albertans' strong desire to see action on climate change, their desire to see a transition away from coal-fired generation, and their desire to see an acceleration of the adoption of renewable energy. So the public support is there. And I think the last piece here really has to do with the economy and jobs. A year and a half ago, economy and jobs was not really the reason to be promoting renewable energy. But today, the situation is very different, as we all know. For every 150 megawatts of solar that is installed in Alberta, that represents $310 million worth of investment, almost 2,000 direct full-time equivalent construction jobs, and 45 permanent jobs in operations. It also provides money, $54 million to lease payments to building owners, and $30 million in property tax payments to municipalities. So these are very significant economic and job-related benefits to pursuing renewable energy, and it clearly is in the sights of this government. Now, of course, as I said, the devil is in the detail. It was easy to answer the question, will this government be integrating renewables? They will be, but how are we going to do that? And how are we going to achieve that from a policy perspective? How much renewables are we going to bring in, and how quickly are we going to do that? I'm quite certain that the government leadership, I'm looking at James Allen here, right now, doesn't have the final answer. We'll find out shortly. But we can say this, They're looking at it very seriously. We also know that this province is committed to bringing forward its plans for GHG reduction and climate objectives in preparation for the UN discussions happening in Paris in December of this year. So every indication is that we are going to see a high-level plan from this government in terms of how it plans to approach that and the targets associated with it, and then the hard work begins of figuring out the details. Now, the wind and solar industry sectors have their definite opinions on how this policy should take place, what sort of policy should be put in place. And this slide here is pretty wordy, but basically, you know, we recognize and support the need for a measured and long-term approach that manages cost risks for this province and creates the least amount of disruption for this market. The government has been very clear about that. As an industry, we are entirely committed to creating sustainable solutions that meet principles like this. And so we're committed to long-term approaches, managing cost risks, and minimizing the disruption. We think that the most suitable policy mechanism for the Alberta market is a renewable portfolio standard. It provides the long-term target diversification that the industry requires. Using market-based solutions. And, you know, it ensures that Alberta is going to be able to meet the targets that it sets. That's the beauty of the RPS system. We're looking closely, and they're looking closely at what's happening in the United States, because there's a parallel there in terms of philosophies on this matter. Two-thirds of the states use an RPS to achieve these their objectives, and it's because it's a very flexible system. You have long-term contracts, but you can bring in RECs. You can have PPAs, but you can also sell to the system. And these are the sort of details that James Allen and the government are grappling with now. I will say, however, that the support for an RPS policy solution has shown a lot of support, not just from the industry, the wind and solar industries, but from the NGO community and from the conventional players themselves. So this seems to be the direction that we're heading. There's a competitive procurement element to this as well, which we're recommending because it's going to provide the lowest cost solution for this province. And we're suggesting that it be done through a central body because having a credible counterparty that can manage the process means that we've got greater certainty, and it means lower financing costs. We're also recommending a solar carve-out within the RPS to ensure that the province is able to achieve what it wants to in terms of the diversity of the grid. The carve-outs have proven to be a very successful tool in the jurisdictions in the United States that have RPS. In fact, 75%, three-quarters of the jurisdictions in the US that use RPS have used the solar carve-out. And lastly, on the residential and community scale programs, this is a very important program for lots of reasons, but we're recommending a standard offer program for the smaller projects that is going to give the custom approach that's needed for this scale. And this is a scale of project that is well supported by the industry here already. They see its value, and it's absolutely key to buying getting the buy-in of participants to actually participate in this future that we're trying to create. Lastly, you know, carbon pricing is an essential part of any serious attempt to deal with climate change, to meet GHG reductions, but there is no jurisdiction in the world that has been able to encourage the introduction of renewables and foster a renewable sector through carbon pricing alone. So that's why we're calling for an RPS. Needless to say, changes like this, of this nature, are going to take time, and it's in everybody's interest to get it right. You know, my prediction, if I could make one here, is that Alberta is going to embrace renewable energy in a very significant way. I've talked to the reasons why. And I think it's going to pay off for them on every single count. I also believe that the costs that this province is going to be able to achieve, the low cost that it's going to be able to achieve, is going to be lower than any other jurisdictions in Canada. It's because of the pragmatic approach that this government is using, the thoughtful approach. It's because of the superior wind and solar resources that it has here. It's because of the declining costs of technology, especially solar. And it's because of the experience that people in this room could bring to the table from their work in other jurisdictions, like Ontario and around the world, that are going to be able to feed into Alberta's effort here to create a world-class renewable energy sector. So in closing, let me say there's two things that I know for certain. One is we have a government here that the industry can count on. It's a willing partner. It's demonstrated that through every phase of the consultations and in the way that it approaches this issue. But the second thing I'm certain about is government can count on this industry to bring its experience to bear and to want to make this happen in the right way, in a responsible fashion. We want Alberta to succeed. We know what happens when you rush too fast to create a market. We know what happens if you don't have the right sort of controls that give you the ability to modify your approach as you go down the road. And we want to take the time to make sure that it's done right, that the market change structures are the appropriate ones to achieve what's being done, and that it turns out to be the right solution for Albertans and consumers. And we understand that this is not going to be done overnight. We're talking about big changes here to market structure. There's coal incumbents to be negotiated with on the government's with the government, and there's the important step of making sure that all stakeholders are consulted along the way so that we've got buy-in. And in fact, that's going to be the discussion on one of our first panels. So in conclusion, let me just thank you again for attending. And I hope that the program over the next 2 days results in the type of discussion and information that you're looking for.